dealer. Everything must be cleared away within the next 8 to 10 months. Plans are to include housing, shopping mall, R&D technology center, an extension of the Kranji golf course. The Singapore Air Force is also going to build an air traffic
Hi, this is John Hall. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 Acre.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
Oh, Helios. Oh, yellow star. Oh, glowing sphere. Gleaming beacon. Brilliant flaming orb, giver of light, warmth, and radio. Yes, it's true. WGXC's brand new solar panels are installed and ready for deployment, where they'll be calling on the free and plentiful rays of the sun to bring our station close to full sustainability.
To make WGXC a solar-powered radio station.
We are going solar. WGXC will be a solar-powered community radio station, getting our power from the sun rather than foreign despots.
WGXC loves the sun, and we're going to love it even more now that WGXC is going solar.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of One Universal Media of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
90.7 FM.
Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that Patrick Phelan, executive director of the New York State Association of Chiefs of Police, denounced Saugerties officials on July 27th for not explaining the reasons for putting Police Chief Joseph Sinagra on paid administrative leave. Phelan said, and I quote, "Currently we are waiting for information. As far as we know, there has been no reason given for placing Chief Sinagra on administrative leave," end quote. Sinagra was recently sworn in as president of the New York State Association of Police Chiefs. Phelan said he spoke to Sinagra on July 26, and the chief told him he did not know why the town board put him on leave. Sinagra could not be reached for comment by the newspaper on July 27. The town voted to hire former police chief Lou Barbaria as interim chief at $50 per hour. Earlier this month, the state attorney general's office recommended that the Saugerties Police Department, and I quote, seek to terminate, end quote, Saugerties Police Officer Dion Johnson because of sexual assault and harassment complaints. And Sinagra's brother, Philip Sinagra Jr., a, and I quote, volunteer officer, end quote, with the Saugerties Police Department and a part-time officer in Woodstock, was named in a federal complaint by four Woodstock police officers and a former dispatcher who alleged that Woodstock Police Department tolerated sexually charged comments by Sinagra Jr. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Fox News reports that Representative Elise Stefanik is all in on impeaching President Joe Biden. Stefanik said, and I quote, "Oh, absolutely. I'm in conversations with Speaker McCarthy and all of our members. The important thing to know about an impeachment inquiry is that ensures that the House is at the apex of its power and oversight responsibility. It means that our subpoenas have the most power possible when it comes to litigating this out in court, because we know getting the facts is not going to be easy," end quote. Her comments say what impeachment would do for House Republicans, not what Biden did that deserves being impeached. On that issue, she only said something about, and I quote, "illegal money laundering, the fact that nearly 20 Biden family members have profited illegally," end quote. Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said this week that he may consider an impeachment inquiry over Biden claims of financial misconduct. Stefanik, also a Republican, represents the 21st Congressional District, including Rensselaer County. Other Hudson Valley representatives have not joined calls to impeach Biden. Read more about this story at the Fox News website. It has been a summer of plagues in the Hudson Valley, with floods, heat, smoke from Canadian wildfires, and an invasion of spongy moths. Now, Mid-Hudson News reports that West Nile virus in mosquitoes has returned to the area. West Nile virus was found in a mosquito pool in the town of New Windsor in Orange County this week. So officials are alerting residents to get rid of any standing water they can, as mosquitoes can breed in any stagnant water that lasts more than 4 days. With all the rain recently, there is a lot of standing water in the Hudson Valley, which means a lot of mosquitoes. Besides eliminating standing water, officials recommend wearing appropriate clothing and using bug repellent sprays when outdoors. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, and COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
No, Governor DeSantis, there's no upside to slavery. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Emmett Till would have turned 82 on July 25th, but he was murdered at 14 on August 28th, 1955, dragged from his great uncle's home in Money, Mississippi, by two white men for allegedly whistling at a white woman. They beat, tortured, and shot Emmett, tied a heavy cotton gin fan to him with barbed wire, and threw his body into the Tallahatchie River. His bloated, disfigured corpse was discovered several days later. His mother, Mamie Till Mobley, had his body returned to Chicago for the funeral. She insisted on an open casket so the world would see the brutality of bigotry, the ravages of racism. Jet magazine and other publications carried photos of Emmett Till's beaten, distended face in his coffin, shocking the world and galvanizing the civil rights movement to defeat Jim Crow.
I believe that the whole United States is mourning with me. And if the death of my son can mean something to the other unfortunate people all over the world, then for him to have died a hero would mean more to me than for him just to have died.
Said Mamie Till Mobley of her decision. 68 years later, President Joe Biden formally established the Emmett Till and Mamie Till Mobley National Monument, signing the proclamation on Emmett Till's birthday. Three sites make up the monument: the Roberts Temple Church of God in Christ on Chicago's South Side, where Emmett's funeral was held; the Tallahatchie County Second District Courthouse in Sumner, Mississippi, where Emmett's two murderers were acquitted by an all-white jury; and the Grabaugh Landing site along the Tallahatchie River, believed to be where Emmett Till's body was found. The memorial sign at Grabaugh Landing was made bulletproof to withstand the attempts to destroy it. It's been shot at and vandalized countless times. The painful history of Emmett Till's lynching and his mother's remarkable courage is seared into the fabric of this country. Less than 3 months later, sickened by the photos of Emmett, Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat to a white passenger on December 1, 1955, sparking the Montgomery bus boycott. The March on Washington in 1963 was held on August 28th, the anniversary of Emmett Till's murder. Yet there are people now attempting to suppress history and whitewash the systemic racism so central to our nation. Leading the pack of these revisionists is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, a Republican presidential candidate. DeSantis first forced the revision of the state's AP African American Studies curriculum, purging key Black writers, feminists, and references to Black Lives Matter. Then, last week, the Florida Department of Education released its social studies standards for this school year. The 216-page document states, quote, "Instruction includes how slaves develop skills which in some instances could be applied for their personal benefit," unquote. Governor DeSantis was asked to explain this shocking rewrite of the brutal, bloody history of slavery in the United States while at a campaign stop in Utah.
They're probably going to show some of the folks that eventually parlayed, being a blacksmith into doing things later in life.
Renowned civil rights attorney and Florida resident Ben Crump responded on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
It is sickening. It is astonishing that in 2023 we could have person who is the second in contention for the Republican nomination telling his supporters and his state that he governs that it is going to be mandated now that students in Florida, starting from middle school on, will have to be taught that slavery have positive benefits. And it is asinine on every level. It has the potential to cause serious psychological trauma to African American students, and we will not stand for it. We will explore every possible legal remedy in the court of law.
The catalog of atrocities during the centuries-long practice of legal enslavement in the United States is long. Forced labor, beatings, whippings, torture, rape, murder, the separation of families, the denial and criminalization of education, and more. The suggestion that the millions of enslaved people in this country somehow benefited from their enslavement is simply grotesque. Of course, many enslaved Africans and their enslaved descendants did learn skills that served them later in life, but these were the skills born of resistance. Harriet Tubman escaped north from Maryland to Philadelphia and used that hard-earned experience to lead between 11 and 30 dangerous missions to rescue more enslaved people, guiding them to freedom, mostly at night, navigating by the stars. Legal slavery ended in the United States on December 5, 1865, with the ratification of the 13th Amendment. But its echoes painfully persist to this day. Monuments and memorials are important checks on the whitewashing of history, but strong social movements are the best bulwark against those who would roll back progress. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC weather for Sunday, July 30th. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a sunny Sunday with a high of 75, a north wind 8 to 10 miles per hour spinning local windmills, and a partly cloudy Sunday night with a low around 56. Monday, there's a 30% chance of showers or thunderstorms after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of just 76 and a low around 54 Monday night. Tuesday should be sunny with a high of 73 and a low around 52. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
It's Thursday, July 27, 2023.
We would not be seeing these unprecedented extreme weather events in the absence of human-caused warming from the burning of fossil fuels and carbon pollution.
Extreme heat waves in U.S. and Europe virtually impossible without human-caused climate change, study finds. Extreme heat plus pollution doubles the risk of fatal heart attacks. Plus,
how big of a deal do you think this announcement is?
A big deal.
Major U.S. automakers unite to build national EV charging network.
All of those big deals and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
I was just on an oil rig in Texas. It's the most patriotic thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, sure. Destroy the United States. God bless America. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, I don't know how many hot tubs there are for residents of Florida, but it sounds like they don't need to buy one now.
No, they certainly do not. But they might want a hot tub time machine. Waters off Florida topped 100 degrees for two straight days. And if verified, that could be a new all-time high world record. Much of the Northern Hemisphere remains in the grip of weeks-long heat waves with stunning but predictable impacts around the Mediterranean with temperatures around 120 degrees. Fast-spreading heat and wind-driven wildfires have forced new evacuations and tragically killed dozens in Algeria as they were trying to escape the flames. In Catania, Sicily, officials say the prolonged extreme heat has melted underground cables, knocking out power and water to hundreds of thousands.
I guess you didn't think of that when you've been calling for them to bury the power lines out here in the U.S., did you?
Good point. Cereal crop production in southern Europe is also predicted to fall by as much as 60% over last year's yields due to the heat. Phoenix's record streak of consecutive days over 110 degrees still ain't over as we go to air, with the city on track to become the first major U.S. city to see an average monthly temperature higher than 100 degrees. City buses are being used as mobile cooling centers. Hospitals are filling body bags with ice to treat heat victims. As the heat drags on, municipalities across the country are racing to install long-term adaptation measures like cool roofs, reflective pavement, and planting street trees. Sadly, Arizona's record streak of extreme heat and drought is testing the ability of the state's saguaro cactus to survive, both in the wild and in urban areas. The iconic symbol of the American West is adapted to heat, but critical summer monsoon rains have failed to arrive this year. Conservationists report the long-lived cacti are losing branches and collapsing.
Not good.
Several new studies this week focus on health threats from the heat. An analysis found that the combination of extreme heat and air pollution may double the risk of fatal heart attacks. Two new studies find warmer overall temperatures are expanding the range of disease-carrying mosquitoes and ticks, which are spreading farther north. A new report by World Weather Attribution scientists finds that the record-shattering heat waves this summer in southern Europe, North America, and China would have been, quote, virtually impossible without climate change. The scientists warn that unless the world rapidly stops burning fossil fuels that cause man-made climate change, these extreme heat events will become much more frequent, occurring every 2 to 5 years.
I think that's going to be more frequent than that.
But climate scientists have repeatedly repeatedly urged speeding up the transition away from fossil fuels to prevent warming and its impact from getting even worse. Here's Dr. Leah Stokes on CBS News.
This isn't like a permanent situation. If we stopped burning fossil fuels, the temperature would start to stabilize. But unfortunately, until we do that, there's a lot of warming in the system and it's going to keep getting worse. I'm not interested in talking about how it's impossible or how it's not real. It's real, it's happening now, and we know what to do to stop it.
I'm interested in talking about how impossible it is.
But there is some good news. Toyota has announced a new electric vehicle battery chemistry that it says cuts costs in half and can go more than 700 miles on a single charge.
Really?
The European Union passed a law to blanket its highways with fast EV chargers by the end of 2025.
Cool.
And in the U.S., seven major automakers, including BMW, GM, and Honda, have joined forces to build 30,000 chargers in an expansive EV fast charging network across the U.S. and Canada that will integrate restaurants and retail stores.
Impossible. We'll never do it. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. It wouldn't be patriotic. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Pandora, TuneIn, Apple, Google, or Amazon Podcasts. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on Facebook, Mastodon, and the website formerly known as Twitter at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Hello, WGXC listeners. You're listening to the Camp Hillison Sports Report. Very own Dan the Man Witkowski.
Oh, my God. Dan? Well, it's Michael, but this my ringer is just terrible.
Well, thank you, guys. Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Rachel. And good morning, Kelly.
Yeah, good morning.
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
I feel scrumptious.
You feel okay. I won't comment on that.
Kelly, thanks again for that marvelous, miraculous introduction. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
I
just said something.
Funny, Rachel. Funny.
I just said you okay. Said how and everyone's feeling. I said I feel scrumptious.
And I said that was funny.
Oh. Well, I didn't hear that, but
I've never heard the word scrumptious
it.
Used in a sports report, but there's a first, everybody. Ring me the bell for that, Kelly.
Let me talk about the Women's
yes,
World Cup.
Yes, please,
The Women's World Cup.
Women's World Cup.
Today we are going to discuss the Women's World Cup. Now, I haven't really been paying that much attention to it because, you know, it's always been on Fox and I don't have the station. But there I just wanted to let you know that the Women's USA National Team tied the Netherlands last night in the second half of the game.
So the score ended up being 1-1. Tell us who from the USA women's team scored that goal.
Megan.
Lisa
Horan.
Lindsey Horan.
Lindsey Horan, that's who it is. Lindsey Horan.
Lindsey Horan.
Lindsey Horan actually scored the goal to give the to have the USA tie in the second half.
And, that's right.
And there was a couple of chances that the USA team had, but the last goal that was that went in was officially an offside call.
They didn't get it
on Alex Morgan, which I think is complete bogus if you ask me.
Yeah, they had to take it back.
Yeah. That was the worst.
You know, the most famous soccer player on that team, Megan Rapinoe, who's 38 years old, has joined them, and it's being played in Australia and New Zealand this year. She didn't play last night.
No, she didn't.
And quite a few of the bench players, because Megan's coming off the bench, quite a few of them didn't play last night, and some people feel that that affected the USA's ability to win.
Yeah, that's what I think.
You get, you know, can you imagine running up and down for 90 minutes?
Oh, God, I'd probably pass out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll ring the bell for that. My goodness. Yeah, I think if I ran for 5 minutes, I'd be out of breath. Yeah, it's kind of amazing what they can do as athletes. But
these ladies are in the gym 24 hours a day working their tail off. I mean, if you and I were trying to compete with the U.S. men's soccer team, we would probably pass out without how fast they run out.
I would definitely pass out. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even show up because I knew I don't want the obvious to happen. you know, we should just let people know that this is the first round of the Women's World Cup final. They play three games against three different opponents.
They beat Vietnam.
Yeah, they beat Vietnam. USA beat Vietnam
3-0
last week. A draw against the Netherlands last night.
And then they play Portugal coming up the next week.
That's right. Portugal and USA will play Tuesday, August 1st at 3 in the morning.
Damn, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, that's a long time.
Yes, Jesus Christ is a long time. it's going to be played in the.
I can't believe I just said that.
Yeah, well, believe it, it happens.
Sorry.
Miss Spike Record t shirt.
Sorry.
That means like 7 p.m. in. 7 p.m.
Oh, my Lord, in my heart.
Yeah. No comment.
No comment, please.
Okay.
But anyway, so I wanted to also bring you guys in that Lionel Messi in his debut with the. FC Miami. He scored two goals, and he was assisted on one goal. Man, it's great to have Lionel Messi in the USA, isn't it?
I would say it's exciting. He scored a goal, at least one goal in that most recent game, and assisted in another. So that's good, I think, for the U.S. Soccer League, right?
Lionel Messi is actually the best soccer player in the world.
Yeah,
when his career is done, he's going to go into the Soccer Hall of Fame if they have one.
Well, he of course won the Men's World Cup just last year for Argentina, and that I wonder if that's part of the reason why he decided to go into the United States Soccer League, because he won the ultimate. With the Argentine,
probably
Argentina winning.
maybe he felt that there's a lot more opportunities here in the U.S. that he could actually make more money in the U.S. That's probably why he said that. That's probably why he signed with FC. Now I've actually seen on YouTube a couple of people, a couple of sports teams like soccer teams who, youth soccer teams who are actually in Florida, who actually were when Lionel Messi landed in the United States, they were so excited that they stopped playing soccer to go meet him at the airport. Yeah.
That's awesome. Just maybe one more thing about the Women's World Cup. The USA team has been quite dominant. It's only been around since 1991, and the USA team has won four World Cups, and also the last two, Dan. So they're trying to go for a three-peat.
Has a three-peat ever been done?
No. Germany won two World Cups, the women's team, in a row. Now the USA did it twice, and they're trying to do it a third time. So if they get out of this first stage, Dan, you know, then they could still be on their way to three-peating.
But I mean, you said a three-peat has never been done before, right?
In the Women's World Cup, no.
Wow, that's they'd make history then if they did that.
Yeah.
I have been your host, Daniel Wachowski, and thank you for listening to WGXC. Thank you, and have a good day.
Thank you.